Thank you, Sam. Just want us to think this evening about something that Paul talks about. We often refer to the verse in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But we very seldom take it over to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. The word examine here is a little bit different word, but the word prove is the same word as in examine in chapter 11. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? I want us to think this evening about what it means to be in the faith. Okay, Danny, there we go. Got it. What kind of self-examination are we to do for communion? Many of us would have come from backgrounds where the common examination would be whether we have kept our commitment to church ordinances or to the church standards. Is that the kind of examination that Paul is suggesting that we need to do? Is that what it means to be in the faith? Why is it so important for us to verify that we're in the faith? Paul says we need to examine ourselves and prove ourselves whether we are in the faith. Is he talking about the Mennonite faith? No. What is he talking about? We need to prove, test, try, verify that we are in the faith. And he says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 there, he says that's so important because if we take communion without that being the case, we are actually bringing damnation upon ourselves. So, why is it so important that we know that we're in the faith? Can we be in the church and not in the faith? Well, a lot of you are shaking your heads. Yeah, we can be in the church. Can we keep all the standards and ordinances of the church and not be in the faith? Some of you are still shaking your heads. Yes. I would agree. It's very possible for us to do that. So when we admit that, we're admitting that Paul is talking about something more than just church standards or ordinances of the church. Can we be good people and not be in the faith? Can we be good moral people? Can we do good things to our neighbors? We can do kindnesses. We can give money to relief work, whatever. We can be good people, so called. Should probably put that in quotation marks. There's none good but God. What does it mean? What does it mean to be in the faith? You've already told me some things that it doesn't mean necessarily. What does it mean to be in the faith? Paul says that it's something that's of utmost importance for us, because if we take communion and we're not in the faith, we bring judgment upon ourselves. So what are we talking about when we're talking about being in the faith? Let's just look at it a little bit. There's some things that the scriptures talk about. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul says that he stopped here in, I forget which town it was in there, but he said he was confirming the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we can expect to go through a lot of tribulation, a lot of trouble, a lot of trials in order to get into the kingdom. So there's something about this faith that is something ongoing. There's something about it that has some goal in mind, some purpose in mind of coming into the kingdom of God. So we need to continue in the faith. We need to stand firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch you. Stay awake, stay alert. Stand fast or stand firm in the faith. Stand like men. Be strong. We need to stand firm in the faith. Now, is that saying we need to be stubborn? Is that saying that we need to be, that things have to go our way? That if everybody isn't doing the way I think they should, that's time for me to stand up and let heads roll? I don't think that's what Paul's saying there. I think he's talking about something much greater than that. Stand firm in the faith. All right? We need to be established in the faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. We need to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, one of the things that can happen here, and often does happen as we look at this verse, people get hung up on this phrase, as you have been taught. But if you go through Paul's epistles, you will notice that Paul calls the people to task in the various churches and says, you're not living what you've been taught. And the reference that he's giving there is in relation to faith in Christ. Trusting Christ for everything as it relates to our lives, as it relates to salvation, as it relates to our freedom. All of those things are part of being in the faith. And so when he writes to the Galatians, he says, who's bewitched you that so soon you would turn from the faith? And what he's talking about there is that they have taken the faith of Jesus Christ and turned it into following the law, living under the law. Galatians is a fascinating book. Paul brings so many things in there. So he's not talking about that we live the way we've been taught, because if that's the case, many of us here have been taught differently than others. He's talking about what he has taught about the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying we need to be established in and we need to continue in. In Titus chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "This witness is true." He's talking about a group of people that had some problems. And he says, "Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." In other words, that what's happening with them is very clearly in the faith. These people that he was referring to, they had some bad reputation and some things that were going on there that were not part of being in the faith. So he says you need to be sound in the faith. Sound has the idea of without flaw or without, okay, if you have a building, when I was in Nepal, I saw some buildings that had some cracks down the walls. Those buildings were not sound. You couldn't count on them. You couldn't trust them. There was a fault there. There was some damage. There was the possibility of those buildings coming down. Soundness in our bodies has to do with health. And soundness in our spirit also has to do with health. So he's talking about a healthy faith. One that is not ready to fall apart. One that's not ready to just disintegrate. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, he says, we need to resist the devil. We need to resist steadfast in the faith. So not only is that faith something that is part of our lives, something that we experience and we participate in, but it's also something that gives us the ability, the strength, to stand against the evil one and all of his lies. That's important for us. Because the faith of Jesus Christ is truth. When we stand fast in the face of Jesus Christ, we're standing firm in truth. And truth is what it takes to push Satan back. If we counter him with lies, however good those lies might sound to us, we're not going to push him back. We're not going to be able to resist him. It's only going to be as we come against him with truth. And it appears that part of what Peter is saying here is that the believers were struggling with the problems they were facing, and they were wondering what's going on. Satan was telling them, possibly, that God didn't care about them. Or possibly he was telling them that God wasn't hearing their prayers. Possibly he was telling them other things of that nature. And Peter says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same things are happening in many of your brothers. It's not something that's just new to you, or new to the faith. These are things that are happening within the faith. Now, let's just look at what the real faith is. And these are some scriptures that most of them come from Paul. But I want us to pay attention to these. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's just stop there. Let's just ask ourselves, is that me? Is that where I'm at? I know that I am justified by my faith in Jesus Christ. Or am I thinking that because I'm doing certain things or not doing certain things that I'm justified before God? Be careful. Be really careful. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Am I in the faith? Am I trusting Christ and His work on the cross, His shed blood, His resurrection? Am I trusting that for my justification, or am I trusting what I'm doing or not doing? I think that's an important question, and that's one of the issues that Paul raises with the Galatian church. He says, "What's wrong? Why have you guys changed from this? Why have you went back after you experienced freedom and liberty and you experienced being in the faith? Now you've gone back to trying to work your way in, to please God by what you do or don't do. Am I in the faith?" Here's what he says then in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you or did some kind of sorcery on you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" And this is, he's telling them what he's taught them. "This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Are you, am I in the faith? Is what's happening in my life a result of my faith in Christ? Or is it me depending on myself to achieve justification? That's what Paul's talking about here. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit or in the faith? Because he said that you received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Okay? You started by faith in Jesus Christ. You came to the cross. You received salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you're walking under your own strength, under your own works, by doing or not doing? Or are you walking in faith, continuing to walk in faith? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'll just throw this in here. One of the reasons that we as a people struggle with pride so much is because we think we have something to boast about. We think, just stop and check yourself. I've had to repent of this more than once. We feel like that we are just on a little bit higher, or maybe a lot higher, spiritual level than most people around us. That is not being in the faith. You see, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We have something to be proud of, if our works or our knowledge is the basis. But if faith is the basis, if we're in the faith, that puts us all at the same level at the foot of the cross, right? By faith, we're saved. By grace, we're saved through faith. And Paul says, now that you're saved by faith, do you continue by your works? No. It's by faith. That's how we live and move and have our being, is by faith in Christ. If that's not happening with us, then Paul is raising some questions for us, asking us to stop and consider what is going on. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves whether you are in the faith. Whether you are trusting Christ or whether you're trusting something else, yourself or something else that you're trusting in. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. You see, Paul is pretty intent on this thing. He brings it up over and over and over and over. And he brings it up in a lot of different ways and in ways that we struggle with. So we're not, he says, make sure you're found in Him. Make sure you're in the faith. Examine yourself. Prove yourself whether you are in the faith. Be found in Him. Not having your own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Righteousness which is of or from God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's where our righteousness comes from. It's His righteousness that we receive. I've talked about this just a little bit, but one of the things that's been so interesting to me to learn here over the last while is how the same finger of God that wrote the Ten Commandments today writes on the hearts of men. He said the old covenant is written on tablets of stone, but the new covenant is written on the tables of the heart. And James chapter 3, or chapter 1, I forget which verse it is there, talks about that you may receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word engrafted is engraved. It's written with the finger of God, which is able to save your souls. It's able to change your mind, will, and emotions. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about God's work on our hearts to change us. God's righteousness and all of God's character we receive by Him writing on our heart. And one of the things that I do so often as I'm meditating and pondering on who God is God, You're good. You're full of goodness. God, write Your goodness on my heart. I need that. I need that. God, You're righteous. Write Your righteousness on my heart. God, Your love. Write Your love on my heart. And that's a prayer that I've learned to pray, and it's such a precious thing to think that God wants to. He longs to. That's His desire, is to write on my heart who He is, so that I become that. So he's saying, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith, that righteousness which God writes in my heart with His finger. That which He longs to write in me. Because when God writes that on my heart, then it's there. If it's my own righteousness, it's going to come and go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, whether you're in the faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and my labor be in vain. Okay, so here's the Thessalonian church. Here's the Galatian church. Here's the Colossian church. Here's the Philippian church. And Paul is talking to every one of these and being concerned whether they are in the faith. And I think he's saying that to us here tonight as well. I think it's important for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, you say, well, what are some ways that I can check and see whether I'm in the faith? We've already talked about some. But John writes about a number of those. You can read in 1 John. And John says, here's how you can know. Here's how you can know. And one of the things he says there is love for the brethren. You want to know if you're in the faith, if you really love God? Do you have love for the brethren? You think that's just talking about us here as a group? I think it's talking about all the family of God. Oh, yeah, we got to live it out here for sure. But it's beyond that. And you read through 1 John, he's got a lot of things there to have us check ourselves and see whether we're in the faith. We're not going to go into those tonight. Now, here's something I came across there at the Men of Valor, those of you that were there. There wasn't a diagram, but this thought was there. As a human being, as a person, here's what we tend to do. We ask three questions, and when we meet somebody, we almost always ask these questions. What's your name? Or who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? And from that, we get our identity as people. Now, this, you wonder if I'm switching gears. No, I'm not. I want us to think about this. Because this plays right into what we're talking about, being in the faith. If what I am and what I do and what my name is, where I'm from, those three things, what happens to that stool if one of those legs gets broken? What happens to it? It falls down, doesn't it? It won't stand up. Here's what happens to us as Christians. We claim that we're in the faith, but what we are is based on what our name is, what we do, and where we're from. And that gives us our identity. Now, you might change those things a little bit. Maybe we say, instead of what I do, we could say what our church standards are. And maybe who I am, that's our denomination. And maybe where I am from, that might have some other application there as well. So, from those things, we build our identity and we say that we are in the faith. Now, let me do this. So let's suppose we turn that upside down and think about my identity in Christ. If I am in the faith, if my identity is in Christ, then what I am, what I do, where I'm from, what my name is, all of that flows out of that. It comes out of that. And here's a quote. Nathan Rittenhouse, the speaker there in Men of Valor, said this: our identity is to be remembered, not discovered. And I think that's what Paul is saying about communion. See whether you are in the faith. Because communion is about remembering that I am in Christ. It's not about all those legs that we think are so important for us to stand on. It's whether I am in Christ. Communion is to be an expression of our identity. We participate, and that's what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 11. As oft as you do this, you show the Lord's death till He come. He's taken us back to our identity. We are in the faith if we are in Christ. And so he's saying, as oft as you do this, you show the Lord's death till He come. You are reminding yourself and others of your identity. I am a child of God. I am here. I am participating in this service of communion because of my faith in Christ. That's the only thing that gives me the right to participate in communion. If we're thinking that there's something else that gives us the right to participate, we better stop and back up and check ourselves, examine ourselves, prove ourselves whether we are in the faith. As I looked at this, I had to think, what is Paul asking me? What is he asking you? What is he laying before us? Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. And so I think it's important for us this evening to ask ourselves that question. Am I here with anticipation, looking to communion, because I am a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ? Or is there some other reason that I'm here and think that I have the right? Remember what he said? If we're trusting in our own righteousness, that's of the law. And it is not being in the faith. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father God, we thank You. We realize tonight, dear God, that there is none of us good. You've told us that. There's only one. You're the only good one. And it's only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, accepted by faith, written on our hearts by Your finger, that we have any right to participate, that we have any right to come into Your presence, that we have any right to remember the shed blood, the broken body, the resurrection, and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. And if there's those among us tonight, or if you see in my own heart that I'm trusting in myself rather than in Jesus Christ, show it to us, Lord. And help us to be able to lay that down, to count it as rubbish, that we might win Christ, that we might be found in Him, that we might be in the faith. Do your work, O Lord, in each of us. We pray it in your precious name. Amen.